Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Spoiler alert! You've heard that phrase before, I'm sure. It warns us, maybe as we're reading an article, reviewing a film or a novel, that some of the details of that story will be revealed within the review. And if we haven't seen the film or read the novel yet, and we want those details to remain a surprise for us, then we best not read the article. Luke introduces the parable of Jesus that we hear at the beginning of his Gospel's 18th chapter with a sentence that, well, kind of sounds like a spoiler. He names the purpose of Jesus' parable before even presenting it to us. And he told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. But there's a difference here, and it's this. The teaching of our Lord is not storytelling for the sake of pleasure or entertainment, but for instruction in the way of repentance, faith, and discipleship. Luke's introduction prepares us to hear, understand, and apply our Lord's parable to our lives. Luke's introduction urges us to pray persistently without losing heart. It reminds us of God's commandment that we should use his name not vainly, but for its given purposes of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. God wants us to pray anytime and anywhere, despite the obstacles that may distract and discourage us. So Jesus tells us about someone in need of help. A widow. In Christ's time, a widow was a powerless person, a vulnerable person. In his law, God commanded the people of Israel to care for and defend widows for that very reason. In the parable, though, a widow had suffered some form of injustice from another. She was in trouble, and she needed help. She went to the person in her community who was charged with the responsibility and the authority to help her, the local judge. But there was a problem with this judge. He neither feared God nor respected man. God's command to care for widows in need meant nothing to him. Nor was he moved by the most basic kind of human compassion for this woman's plight. He truly did not care. And when the widow came to him asking for his help, he refused to get involved. She came asking for justice, but the judge denied her. Where, at this point, could she turn? She didn't have very many options with this stubborn judge being so disinterested in her situation. Surprisingly, though, instead of simply giving up, instead of losing heart, she chose to persevere. Day after day, this widow rose and returned to the judge's office to set the case before him again and again and again. Nothing daunted her. And so finally, the judge relented. He gave her justice. The widow's steadfastness shook him out of his inaction. He was tired of her repeated pleas, and he started to worry about the possible consequences of her daily petitions. Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Beat me down literally there means give me a bloody nose. But what was really going on there? The judge may not have had respect for people, but it does kind of sound like he still cared about what people thought of him. Did he worry that the news of this widow's persistence and his not doing anything, his inaction, might give him a bad name in his community? When he said to himself that he did not want her to beat him down with her continual coming. It's hard to imagine that he really was worried about literally being beaten up by her. Jesus concludes the parable with its lesson. First, he gives an exhortation. Hear what the unrighteous judge says. The man admitted that though nothing within his character, neither faith nor love, would move him to give justice to this woman, her tireless, persistent entreaties could. And they did. Then Jesus moved on to ask two questions, followed by a promise and a final question. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We've heard about the judge and how the widow's relentless asking wore him down finally. But Luke began this parable by, or he began by introducing this parable of Jesus by telling us that it was a call for us to always pray and not lose heart. Now, does that mean that we are to believe that God is like the unwilling judge and that only our persistent prayer will get his help? Well, some people seem to think so. They urge us that when you pray, storm the gates of heaven. Pray and pray and pray until God just has to open them and answer your prayer. But I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at here, because his questions and his answering promise completely quash that as a possibility. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay over them long? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. God is nothing like the arrogant, selfish judge of Jesus' parable. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life with him. We didn't choose Jesus, but he did choose us. We are, by grace, his elect. He graciously chose us to be his people, his forgiven heirs of eternal life. And he promised that our prayers offered in his name, with faith in him, God will answer. But we have to admit that waiting on God is hard for us to do. When we wait after asking God, we are tempted to imagine that God's ways actually are like those of the unjust judge. Why doesn't he answer us faster? Sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we ask God for what he knows won't be good for us. Life's problems also frighten us and irritate us. And our desperation for relief sometimes drives us to pray for instant miracles that amount really to selfish escape plans rather than God's will worked out on earth as it is in heaven. The world in which we live can seem as indifferent and hostile to us as the judge of Jesus' parable. Again and again, its proud and selfish ways seem to win out in this world over God, faith, and love. The cry of the ancient prophet Habakkuk echoes our own anxious thoughts. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see sin, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth twisted. We wonder at times when we're waiting, has God really heard? Is prayer really worth it? Yes. More than anything else, prayer is worth it. God does hear and answer the prayers of his chosen ones, so we cry to him night and day. Notice how Jesus reframed things. In the parable, it's a judge who doesn't care, and a stranger, a weak woman in need, a widow. There's no relationship there. But when Jesus asks the question, and will not the Lord answer the prayers of his elect? He's assuming a brand new relationship here. He's pulling into it the grace of God that has sent salvation to this world through Jesus Christ, that has called people to turn from sin and selfishness, to receive forgiveness and life in Christ's name. We are chosen by God's grace. Will he not hear our prayers? Of course he will. Of course he will. He who gave his own son to die and rise from the dead as our living Savior has promised to graciously answer our prayers. Waiting is hard for us. It tries us. It tests us. But it also gives us time to grow stronger in God's promises through meditating upon them, and to become more steadfast and determined to look to God in faith for the answer to the prayers we offer to him. As the psalmist prayed, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning." More than watchmen for the morning. I like that picture. In ancient times, cities had walls around them, and there were people, soldiers, who were given the job to be the night watchman. Well, as their shift was coming to an end, you can bet that they weren't just watching to make sure the enemies, there was nobody trying to cause any trouble in the land. They were also looking to the east, waiting for the sun to rise. And we, when we hope in the Lord, we set our eyes upon what God has promised, and we wait, knowing that as surely as the sun rises, God will hear our prayers in his own time and in his own way. He is faithful. Jesus' final question sets our prayers in perspective. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We ought to pray and not lose heart for a number of reasons. First, we ought to pray because God created us for such daily conversation with him. He speaks to us in his word, and he calls for our response. Unfortunately, sin makes us much weaker in spirit and more vulnerable to attack than even the widow in Jesus' parable. The devil and the world continually conspire to corrupt and silence our prayers. Yet we continue to pray because Jesus helps us. When our sinful nature, the devil, and the world mire us in worry, doubt, and discouragement, Jesus' last question leads us through repentance and faith to his help. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus came once as our crucified and risen Savior to overcome our sins, and he will come again in the end to be our judge. On that day, the judge will make God's justice to drive out everything that opposes it. This God has promised, and he does not lie, and he will not fail. So we turn to him and pray. We confess to him our doubts and our fears. We admit our pride and our selfishness. We believe and rejoice in his words of forgiveness and life. And again, we pray. With eyes set on Jesus, we pray always, never losing heart, that God's name will be kept holy and honored among us, his people. We ask for God's saving reign, his kingdom, to reach all the lost, that they may hear his good news and through the Spirit believe. We seek God for his just and good will to be done among us on earth as it is in heaven. In all these prayers, as well as those we pray daily for daily bread, for forgiveness and power to forgive, and for deliverance from both temptation and evil. We trust that God hears us and answers us now and when Jesus returns, that he will make his justice, his righteousness, his mercy, his goodness, and his glory known and praised for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.